Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. As I mentioned last time, I want to discuss with you the characters that William Shakespeare put into his play Richard III. Now, to grasp the action of this play, you need to know about the characters and some of their history to be able to know what is going on in each scene. Now, this is going to take a little bit of effort on your part, but it will be worth it when you read the play. Now, I recommend to my students here at Herbert W. Armstrong College that when they begin to read one of Shakespeare's plays, they go to the front of their books, they go to a Xerox machine and copy the list of characters at the beginning of the play, and then keep it right there at the table with them as they read the play. And that way they can begin to check the characters and a little bit about the characters as they're reading through the play. Because Shakespeare maybe will just go to a first name and you could really forget the rest. Now, the play Richard III is Shakespeare's fastest acting play. You need to know the characters if you're going to keep up with the action. And you don't want to get lost and give up the play because it's really probably one of Shakespeare's best histories or his best tragedies. And especially it just ends this whole horrible, turbulent time in the Wars of the Roses. So it is really very important that you do this. Now, because we are dealing with the Wars of the Roses or the Civil War between the House of York and the House of Lancaster, what I thought I'd do is I'd put the characters into the group they belong for you. And so, in other words, when we go through these characters, they may not be in the exact list they are in your book. But that's okay. If you just get your book out, and I've asked all of you to get the Pelican, if you just get that out, and as I go through this, then you can just click them off or check them off and know what they are. Now, the other thing, because the Just the Best Literature is a podcast, you can actually download the podcast, and then you could listen to as much as you can get, and then maybe even write down what I'm saying. And that way, it's kind of like a time of study for you, but that way you can really get these characters down. And I know I have to do the same thing. You just don't, read the list of characters and know what's really going on because there's a lot of background information. But I thought what I'd do is just list these characters out for you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the House of York first. Then I'm going to go through the House of Lancaster. Then I also want to talk about the Woodville family. Now, the Woodville family was a very famous family in England at the time of Richard III. And you need to understand that. Now, not everyone liked the Woodville family. In fact, the nobility was very upset with the Woodville family because when their daughter, Elizabeth, or one of their relatives of the Woodville family became Queen Elizabeth, then all the Woodville family wanted to really jump on that train and get jobs in the monarchy. And a lot of them did do that, by the way. So the Woodville family is famous. Also, I'm going to then talk about Richard III's group of supporters. And we're not necessarily going to go through all of them, but we'll go through a few of them. And then, of course, we have to spend some time with Earl of Richmond's group. Now, Earl of Richmond, the Earl of Richmond is actually Henry Tudor, and Henry Tudor is actually Henry VII, and he is the one that wins the Battle of Bosworth at the end of this play, and he really does stop the War of the Roses. And so we do have to spend some time with them. And with that group of people as well. So let's go back now to the House of York. And it's very good for you to understand this. Then you can see, well, where's the tension going to be in the play, or where's the action going to be in the play, and it's going to be between, basically between these two families. But remember now, by the time we get down to Richard III, the House of Lancaster has been reduced to almost nothing. And remember, in the last program, I talked to you about the Battle of Towton, and I talked to you about the Battle of Tewkesbury. And between these two battles, I mean, almost the whole Lancastrian line is wiped out. And actually, the only thing left of it really is this Earl of Richmond or Henry Tudor. And again, even though he's able to take the throne, he's really pretty distant from the throne. There are other people, actually, or other persons that could have been closer to it, but because of all of this civil strife, it was so much better for England that the Earl of Richmond or Henry Tudor is able to take the throne. So let's look at that first character, and it should be first on your list, and that is King Edward IV. And so now remember, King Edward IV, his real name is actually Edward Plantagenet. And he is the son of Richard, Duke of York, and Cecily Neville. The Nevilles were also a very famous family in England. Now, Edward IV was able to win the crown, if you can remember back to the last program. He won it during the War of the Roses, and he took it from the Lancastrian king, Henry VI. And, you know, that's we talked about that, and again, that was a very turbulent time and a very sad time even for Henry VI's family. Now, the problem with Edward IV, and this really kind of brings in some more trouble with the nobles, and so this was a continual problem in England at this time, but he secretly married Elizabeth Woodville, and she becomes Queen Elizabeth. She is one of the first common women in England to become Queen of England. Now, she was also Lancastrian, and you have to understand that. So Edward's mother, who is the Duchess of York, really does not like this woman. And a lot of the other nobles did not like what she and the Woodville family was doing. And so there's really a lot of problems with this. Now, if you just look at the history of the Woodvilles, Elizabeth is the daughter of Richard Woodville, and she's also the widow of John Grey. And essentially, she alienated the Earl of Warwick. And in 1471, this Earl of Warwick, he defeated the forces of Edward IV with Queen Margaret, and then he was sent into exile. And then eventually then Edward IV comes back at this Battle of Tewkesbury, and then essentially what he does is he makes sure that Edward VI is killed, and then Margaret is actually sent into exile. Okay, the next character that we need to talk about is Richard, Duke of Gloucester. Now, very simply, he's just a brother to Edward IV, but he also becomes King Richard III. Now, of course, his mother is the Duchess of York. Now, Richard III is the fourth surviving son of Richard, Duke of York. And, of course, his mother is Cecily, or the Duchess of York. Now, the thing about Richard III in this play, it's really quite tragic. He was named Lord Protector of his nephew Edward V in 1483. Now remember, this is the son of Edward IV. And of course, maybe I forgot to mention this, but Edward IV actually dies when this play is going on. So when he dies, his son, Edward, essentially becomes Edward V. But he was still too young to rule, and his protector was Richard III. And so he was named protector, and I think it was in April of 1483. Well, then by the end of June, Richard has himself declared king. And so it's really quite tragic what goes on there. And I know some historians say, well, Shakespeare makes him up to be this monstrous villain. And, he only killed a few people. They say he's not as bad as some of the other people. And I'm saying, well, if he kills two of his nephews, that's pretty much villainous as far as I'm concerned in my book. Okay, then we go down to George, Duke of Clarence. And that's another, he's important in the sense that this is also Edward the Fourth's brother, but he was an older brother to Richard the Third. And essentially what happens is he would actually be more in line to the throne than Richard the Third is. Now, Shakespeare does say in this play that it is Richard the Third that actually kills his brother George, but really George had his problems, and he was actually causing problems for Edward the Fourth, his older brother, and it just appears that it was Edward the Fourth that actually had George killed, and not necessarily Richard the Third. So that's where Shakespeare really did kind of bend the rules of history. But I don't think it would be bad to just make a statement of the evil at this time through this character Richard. But George was the Duke of Clarence. His last name also is George Plantagenet, and he was the Duke of Clarence, and his older brother made him that. Now he married Isabel Neville, and she is the elder sister of Lady Anne Neville. And Lady Anne Neville was Richard's queen. Now, Clarence at one point fought on the Lancastrian side along with the Earl of Warwick against his brothers in 1470, but then he rejoined them in 1471, and then essentially he was imprisoned by his brother Edward IV in the Tower of London, and then he was executed there. But the advantage that did give Richard II, it took another person out of the lineage for the throne. And we'll see in this play that the way Shakespeare crafted Richard III is he tried to eliminate anybody that could stand in his way to get to the throne. Okay, the next character there is the Duchess of York. And, of course, that is Richard, Edward, Richard, and George's mother. And she was Cicely Neville. She was the granddaughter of John of Gaunt and Catherine Swynford, and we know that Catherine Swynford was John of Gaunt's mistress for a while, and then he did marry her. She was his third wife, and so it's really interesting. She certainly loved her sons, and that was Edward the Fourth, Clarence, and Richard. She is the grandmother of George's two children that we see in the play as just a boy and a girl. And so that's who they are. Those are George's children. But she really heavily disliked Queen Elizabeth. And one of the reasons why she disliked her so much is because she was Lancastrian. And so, there was just decades of hate in this family for each other. Okay, the next character down there is Edward, Prince of Wales. And this was Edward IV, eldest son. He really should have been made King Edward V, but he was never crowned because his uncle, Richard III, or Richard the Duke of York, had him put in the tower. And then in the play, as you go down through the characters, there is another one called Richard Duke of York. And essentially who he is he's Edward IV's younger son, or he's King Edward V's youngest brother. And these two are known as the princes in the tower. And, of course, they were, they were executed. And some historians believe that it was Richard that did it, and Richard did have them suffocated. But they've never found their bodies. They've never found their bones. But who knows, someday if there's another archaeological project to dig somewhere around the Tower of London, they may find these two boys. But anyway, it is part of the tragedy of this time. Okay, so that's the House of York. Now, the House of Lancaster. And the first character that we have in the House of Lancaster is Queen Margaret. Now, it's really interesting. If you know anything about the history, and we've tried to give you some of the history, but Queen Margaret is essentially, she's Margaret of Anjou. She's French. She is the widow of King Henry VI, and she was already dead a year before this play would even open. And so, Shakespeare just crafts her as a character, and basically she comes in to curse Richard III. And we'll talk about that when we get into some of the scenes of the play. And she does speak for all of the women, let's say, that had to suffer the death of their sons and death of their husbands and, you know, death of their nephews in this horrible time of the War of the Roses. So she kind of speaks for all of them. But, just really, really curses Richard III. And it is really kind of interesting. Now, Lady Anne Neville, and remember, she is Queen Anne. She is the wife of Richard III, or it would be Richard of, Duke of Gloucester. And so the thing is that's really interesting about her is, her husband was killed in a previous battle, and I can't remember exactly. I think it may have been all the way back to the Battle of Towton, but I don't necessarily want to say that. If any of you out there hear this and you can, enlighten us on that, please just, write me here at JBL and we can get that straightened out. But, she does marry Richard III. Now, in the play, it looks like, now she does die. She does die young. And Shakespeare has it that Richard III actually poisons her so that he can actually marry his niece. And essentially, he's trying to stop Henry Tudor from taking the throne, or he's trying to stop anybody interfering with what he wants to do. And so, there are some of those things, in the play that, well, we'd say that Shakespeare probably bent the rules of history more than just necessarily supports them. So it is kind of interesting with Lady Anne Neville. I'm just going to read a little bit of history there. Here is, she is the youngest daughter of the powerful Earl of Warwick. Now, Clarence's wife, Isabel, was her elder sister. So you can see that here there's the two Plantagenet brothers. They marry two sisters. And she was first married to the son of Henry VI or Prince Edward. And here this little history is telling me that he was killed at the Battle of Tewkesbury. So all of you out there don't need to answer that issue now. So he was killed in 1471 at that Battle of Tewkesbury. But she was still just a young teenager then. And in 1472, she was only 16, and then she married Richard of Gloucester. And then in 1483, when he was made king, she was made Richard's queen. Now, when the scenes open in the play Richard III, you have to understand that Shakespeare condenses 13 years down to just this one scene. And so you have to understand there's 13 years of history, and it really is a little bit confusing at the first, because in this scene they bring out the body, of Henry VI, who has obviously died years before died before this. Then she's mourning the death of her husband, who died before this, the play opens. And so you have to understand that Shakespeare is just compressing history. Okay, that's actually what's left of the House of Lancaster. Now, in the play, towards the end of the play, there is the ghost of King Henry VI, so he would be Lancastrian. Then there's also the ghost of Edward of Westminster. He's the Prince of Wales, and he was Henry VI's son as well. And the thing is that would be Margaret's son as well. So they would be Lancaster. So that's it for that group. Now, we also have the Woodville family, and we'll be able to go through this quickly. But just so you know these things, Queen Elizabeth, we've just already talked about. So she was married to Edward IV, and she was this famous Woodville family. Now the little bit of history there is that Edward married her secretly. And if you look at some of the rules of succession, or even the rules to be king, is, these marriages had to be approved by Parliament. And, of course, Edward didn't have that approved. And she was married before to you know, the famous Earl Grey. And so it is, you know, a really serious thing. And it really caused problems for Edward, and then actually even caused problems for the Queen as well. So the other character in the play, Earl Rivers, that's Elizabeth's brother. Then there's the Marquess of Dorset, and this is Elizabeth's son from her previous marriage to Lord Grey. Then there's also Lord Richard Grey, and he's also Elizabeth's son. And there's Sir Thomas Vaughan, and he was an ally of both Rivers, Earl Rivers, and Grey. And what you're going to see is, like Sir Thomas Vaughan, Richard executes him, and he executes the sons of Queen Elizabeth. And so he's trying to get rid of anything or anybody that could ever stand in his way from being king. So it's really, really, you know, quite a bloody time when we look at this play, and it's really, really quite horrendous. Now, also in your list of characters, let me just identify for you Richard's group of supporters. So we won't go into any details about these, but you have the Duke of Buckingham, Sir William Catesby, the Duke of Norfolk, the Earl of Surrey, Sir Richard Radcliffe, Sir James Tyrrell, he's an assassin. There's Lord Lovell. There's two murderers, and they're the ones that go in and they murder Clarence in the Tower of London. They actually, you know, stab him several times, and then they drown him in a big vat of wine. And that is historical. That's true. He was drowned in a big vat of wine. And so then there's Richard's page. So it's amazing, even these people that supported Richard, for example, he does take vengeance on them, and he executes some of them. And so we'll see that when we go through the play. Now, we have to talk about the Earl of Richmond's group. And remember, Henry Tudor, he was the Earl of Richmond. So when you're reading this play, when you see the name Richmond, you're actually looking at a Tudor. You're not looking at a Lancaster. You're not looking at a York. You're looking at a Tudor. And he was Henry VI's nephew. And so he's still very much related. Now, there is one interesting character here in Edmund's group, and I think we have time to talk about this, and that is Lord Stanley. And at the Battle of Bosworth, Lord Stanley is one of these earls that is fighting on Richard III's side. But you have to understand that Lord Stanley marries Richmond, it's really hard to not get that confused. So I'm talking, forget about the name Richard I just said, it's Richmond. So it was Lord Stanley that did marry Henry Tudor's mother, and so he is Richmond's stepfather. And at this Battle of Bosworth, he switches sides, and he joins with Henry when Henry is making his comeback to England. And so his own stepfather, you know, is actually treasonous towards Richard III and stands up for Henry Tudor. So that's really interesting. Now, just a little bit of history of him. He was Earl of Derby. He was the counselor and steward of the household to Edward IV. So he had been loyal to the Yorks. In 1482, Stanley married Margaret Beaufort, and she was Richmond's mother. And you know, it's really interesting. If you go all the way back, let's see if I even talked about him yet. I think Lord Hastings. Let me just see. Lord Hastings. He's another character. He was the Lord Chamberlain to Edward IV. Richard even has him killed, but he and Lord Hastings, yeah, we're good friends, and it was just amazing. He saw Hastings executed, and so, you know, you could see where Richard actually was probably beginning to cause his own problems, you know, as well with some of these nobles and the people that he was, you know, wanting to support him in the play. Okay, there's a lot of other characters in there that we don't necessarily need to talk about. because they have such a minor role in the play. But there are clergy in the play. There's other characters. We have the Keeper of the Tower. He has a few lines in there. So you can actually begin to figure those out a little bit more once you go through the play. So I hopefully that was very, very helpful for you. But next time, what we'll begin to do is we'll begin to discuss the highlights of Richard III. And then if some of these characters that I have not mentioned come in there, then we'll certainly mention them then. So I know you'll find what we have to say next week very exciting. So please write me any comments that you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. And then also JBL is on Facebook. And that address is facebook.com/justthebestliterature. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.